Good morning. For Mountain Grown Community Radio KVNF, my name is Eric Gould. Here is your local newscast for Monday, April 2nd. State lawmakers are scheduled to introduce next year's budget on Wednesday. It funds everything from schools to roads to prisons and has been at the center of tense negotiations. As part of our Capital Conversation series, Benta Berkland talks to State House reporters about the politics involved.
Joining us today, we have two reporters who've been covering the budget process closely, Joe Hannell with the Durango Herald and Patrick Malone with the Pueblo Chieftain. We're at the stage now where this budget is going to go in front of 100 lawmakers over the next couple weeks. We're going to see some developments, even though it has been in this budget committee for several months. In some ways, this is when things really get going and pick up. And Patrick, why don't you give us a little preview about some of the things we may see when this budget hits the chamber floors?
Well, you may see frank and honest conversations, but you're more likely to see people politicking. It's a very crucial election year. There's a one vote difference in the House with Republicans holding the majority. To this point, what we have seen is an awful lot of posturing on the things that could go into campaign mailers. Even though the money was there to fully restore a proposed 2% cut to personnel, which Democrats said would have cost hundreds of jobs to state workers, Republicans still would not budge off the point that there is still going to be a cut, even though the money was there, that there didn't have to be. So that was mitigated and a compromise was reached by the Joint Budget Committee. And what we're going to see on the floor of the House and of the Senate, I believe, is a whole lot of the same. We're going to see people trying to cozy up to those groups that they might have alienated during votes during the first half of the session, and we're going to see them trying to throw crumbs to their districts.
Joe, this is one of the last big things they'll be doing during the legislative session, and we often joke it's the only thing they're really constitutionally required to do. How do you think both parties will try to use this, as Pat was saying, politically, but trying to take credit for it?
Well, we've already seen a lot of that. This year, we're dealing with something we haven't seen for about 4 years, which is a little bit of extra money. All the Joint Budget Committee's been doing the last three previous years is cutting budgets. And they're kind of expecting to do that this year. And we're expecting there to be this big fight over a property tax exemption for senior citizens who've owned their home for at least a decade. They found out there's actually extra money in the budget. There's enough to pay for that senior property tax exemption, plus a bunch of other stuff, plus about $200 million more. Republicans were the ones that were really holding the line on the senior property tax exemption. They're claiming credit for that. Democrats want to now claim credit as well. Everybody's saying, hey, we saved seniors this year. The fact is, there's just more money to spend through no fault or action of anybody's, unless you can say that the Colorado legislature turned around the state economy. As Patrick said, we're fighting over who's protecting state employees, being better to schools, who's being better to senior citizens, and you can just expect to hear a lot of that for the next couple of weeks. And in fact, all the way through to November when you open up your mailbox.
There's an embodiment of this politics within that senior homestead tax exemption. Since last summer, House Republicans and their leader, Speaker Frank McNulty, have said unequivocally, we must restore this. It is a top priority for us. Well, the truth of the matter is they had the money for it a year ago, and they chose to give it to businesses through the vendor fee. It's just that it's a priority in an election year when they have to sort of rehab their image with the senior voters after what happened in Congress, when we almost saw some big shifts in senior health care there.
There are definitely some close congressional races happening across Colorado. Joe, I know you'll be covering the 3rd congressional district.
Yeah, what Patrick said about the national environment playing into this is exactly right. Remember, about a year ago, the U.S. Congress voted on a House Republican budget plan, and it would have transformed Medicare into kind of a voucher program. That didn't go over real well nationally, and Democrats really seized on that, and they're making it a big campaign issue. At the beginning of this year, I don't think it was any surprise that here in Colorado, local Republicans wanted to put out the message they're looking after seniors. So you see how this is all wrapped up into one big ball of politics. And if voters are confused about it now or by November, that's probably the idea.
Having said all that, there will be some bipartisan support. Last year, most lawmakers in both parties voted for the budget. And it seems like some of the statements we're getting from party leaders, they're going to be on board this year.
I think so. The money is there that they're able to really clear the tallest hurdles of this budget and agree on most things. I would just advise voters who are reading about this in their mailboxes months from now to take with a grain of salt anything that either side takes credit for or casts blame on.
Thanks. That was Patrick Malone with the Pueblo Chieftain and Joe Hannell with the Durango Herald. I'm Benta Berkland in Denver, and you've been listening to Capital Conversation.
Rocky Mountain Community Radio is supported by the Gay and Lesbian Fund for Colorado, partnering with the Women's Foundation of Colorado to promote economic self-sufficiency of women and girls.
Tomorrow, there will be at least 144 municipal elections across the state, including many in smaller towns. There are several ballot issues in towns in our area. Voters in Norwood and Olathe will decide whether or not to allow the town to stop publishing the full text of its ordinances, bills, and accounts in the newspaper of record. Titles of ordinances and any related fines will continue to be printed in the newspaper, and the full text would be published on the town website and bulletin boards. This is designed to save the town's money. Voters in Crawford will decide whether or not to ban the sale of medical marijuana. According to the Colorado Municipal League, voters in 37 cities and towns throughout the state have approved such bans. Montrose and Naderita are proposing tax increases or extensions. Montrose voters will decide on a 0.2% sales tax increase for the recreation district. Naderita voters will decide whether or not to continue a 1% sales tax for the next 6 years for 24-hour urgent medical care. In addition, many towns have elections for town trustees, and some have mayoral elections. About a quarter of the cities and towns in Colorado canceled their regularly scheduled election, which state law allows. Lake City's town manager is retiring after 27 years. The Lake City Silver World reports that Michelle Pierce announced her retirement during an executive session with the town board on March 21st. Her retirement will become effective at the end of October. The Silver World reports that Pierce described her retirement as bittersweet, but said she was looking forward to, quote, new challenges, new relationships, and new risks. Pierce's announcement came just 2 weeks before Lake City's municipal election tomorrow. The Silver World reports that 5 of the 6 trustee seats are open, as well as that of the mayor. The newly elected board will be charged with appointing a new town manager. More Coloradans are skipping health insurance, deciding it's just too expensive for what they receive. From Colorado Public News, Carol McKinley reports on one woman who is crossing her fingers that she won't get sick enough to need it.
It's very scary.
Kelly Rose is a 46-year-old marketing specialist whose company does not provide health insurance. She used to pay $500 a month for insurance, which covered no medical bills until she came up with the $15,000 deductible. That didn't make sense, so she dropped it.
And so it's very difficult to find a health insurance that's geared for healthy people unless you purchase major medical, in which case you have to pay a huge deductible.
Health insurance broker Bill Lindsay understands Kelly's frustration, but says she has the wrong idea. It's not health insurance which is expensive, he says. It's health care. Consider what it costs for that one accident an uninsured person hopes will never happen.
If that person was skiing and got a compound fracture, they probably don't have any idea that the cost to fix that is probably north of $25,000 or $30,000.
Lindsay's recent hip surgery was a whopping $80,000, more cash than many people have at their fingertips. Dr. Ned Collage of the Colorado Trust says not having insurance is a gamble.
I think the most common reason for bankruptcy in the United States is unexpected medical care costs. So this is a big deal, and trying to help people understand the value of insurance.
For now, Kelly Rose will hold on to her money and cross her fingers.
It's like playing a Russian roulette in a way, because I have to make sure that I stay healthy as much as I can.
Health insurance for a family of 4 now averages more than $13,000 a year. Carol McKinley, Colorado Public News.
The victim of a shooting in Paonia earlier this year is on the mend. The Montrose Daily Press reports that the alleged assailant, Galen Wood, has since been charged with second-degree assault, felony menacing, and prohibited use of a weapon. Wood is accused of shooting Gregory Thompson of Pagosa Springs in February after they argued at Woods' Paonia area home. According to an arrest affidavit, Wood told deputies he shot his friend because Thompson wouldn't leave his house. The press reports that deputies responding to 911 calls found an intoxicated Wood begging help for Thompson, whom he allegedly shot at point-blank range with a 20-gauge shotgun. The shotgun round struck Thompson in the stomach and exited from his back. Delta County Undersheriff Mark Taylor told the press that Thompson has since been released from the hospital. Wood will appear in Delta County Court on Wednesday to have a preliminary hearing date set. On Friday, U.S. Forest Service officials suspended prescribed fires on federal land statewide, covering the 14.5 million acres of national forest in Colorado. The Denver Post reports that Deputy Regional Forester Brian Farabee made the decision after several prescribed fires scheduled this week were canceled due to forest crews being called to other locations to suppress fires. The exceptionally dry and windy conditions, also known as red flag warnings, were also a factor. Forest Spokes Service person Steve Segan told the Post that suspension is, quote, a tactical pause, and said it will be enforced for about 2 weeks, depending on rain. Prescribed fire planning continues. The Post reports that the suspension likely means that a backlog of forest management work will have to be done through other means, like mechanical tree thinning. Segan told the Post that falling beetle-kill trees is the greatest concern. The Post reports that prescribed fire is regarded by land managers as the most effective tool for restoring the health of beetle-ravaged forests and managing risk to communities posed by forests loaded with easily ignited dead wood. Last week, Governor John Hickenlooper suspended prescribed fires on state lands after calling for an independent review of the circumstances that led to the Lower North Fork fire southwest of Denver. Employees in Colorado added 4,700 non-farm payroll jobs from January to February, according to the Survey of Business Establishments. According to the State Labor Department, private sector payroll jobs increased 2,700 and government jobs increased 2,000. Over the year, the average work week and average hourly earnings also increased. The largest private sector job gains were in education and health services, and trade, transportation, and utilities. The largest decline was in financial activities. According to data from the State Labor Department, the unemployment rates across the KVNF listening area varied greatly. Montrose County ranked highest at 11.1%, followed by Delta County at 8.8%, and Ouray County at 8.5%. San Miguel and Hinsdale counties were lowest, with 5.6% and 3.3%, respectively. It is time to renew licenses for fishermen and women in Colorado. Chad Rich from KBUT in Crested Butte has information on how to renew and what your annual license fees helps to fund.
Colorado Parks and Wildlife is reminding anglers who are gearing up for fishing season to get their licenses for this year. Licenses are currently on sale at license agents, such as your local fishing and outdoor store, parks and wildlife offices, online, and over the telephone. Current licenses expire at the end of this month. New licenses are good from April 1st, 2012 through March 31st, 2013. Randy Hampton is a spokesperson with Colorado Parks and Wildlife, and he says an annual license helps create more opportunity for users.
Money from fishing licenses helps fund, in general, protection of over 900 species of wildlife in Colorado that are managed by Colorado Parks and Wildlife. But in specific, angler dollars go towards things like hatcheries to create more fish, to create more angling opportunities, and to improve fishing habitats and construct fishing access projects.
A Colorado fishing license is required for anyone age 16 and older who fishes in the state of Colorado. Annual licenses range from $26 for residents to $56 for non-residents. The state of Colorado also asks sportsmen who purchase a fishing license to contribute an extra $10 and purchase a Colorado Wildlife Habitat stamp. Again, Randy Hampton of Parks and Wildlife.
The Colorado Wildlife Habitat stamp helps fund programs that preserve wildlife habitat and provide both hunting and angling access in Colorado. And not only does the money go towards those things, that money's used to leverage other funds that are out there. So far, since the habitat stamp went into effect in 2005, we've conserved more than 124,000 acres of wildlife habitat, and we've opened more than 23 miles of new fishing access for anglers.
Officials want to remind fishermen that the fine for fishing without a license is $68. For information on how to obtain a fishing license for the upcoming season, you can visit the Parks and Wildlife website at wildlife.state.co.us. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Chad Rich.
Tomorrow is also the deadline for big game hunting applications in Colorado. The 2012 big game seasons open in late August and run through mid-winter. To improve the chances of success in the draw, the agency recommends hunters apply for second, third, and fourth choice licenses. They can also select leftover draw instead of refund on their deer and elk applications, which gives them first chance at leftover licenses before they go on sale to the general public in August. Over-the-counter bulk elk tags available for the second and third rifle seasons will be available starting on July 10. Information about season dates and license application requirements can be found in Colorado Parks and Wildlife 2012 Colorado Big Game brochure, as well as online. And that was your local newscast for Monday. My name is Eric Gould. For KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio, have a great day, and thanks so much for listening.